Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three extremely kind and extraordinarily knowledgeable boys. You've got myself, Tommy Dasilo. You've also got Ben Vanell.
Hey, welcome to the show, the only show that asks the question, what if Mario real life? It's so good to be here, Tommy.
Absolute only show that would ever dare ask such a hard-hitting question. Yes. And bringing up the rare.
Wait.
The great man, Adam Knox.
Hello, here I am. I didn't mean to do it like that.
Yeah.
I was trying to do a thing of rare, mispronouncing it like rare instead of rear, but it went sideways.
I'll share this. I was recently editing an episode of my other podcast where my erstwhile co-host Carl Chandler went to say negatively, but then I think the word after that had an ig sound in there.
Yeah.
And for like a split second, this was at a live show, he accidentally said the N-word.
Oh, no.
You hear the whole audience go, whoa! And then he doesn't register because in his head he's like, no, I stumbled over the word. I got there eventually.
Yeah.
And there's a great moment of him standing there and going, what happened? What happened? Anyway, I cut everything
what did I say?
I cut everything else out of the episode and just left that bit in. And it's a real treat.
Yes.
Hey, maybe if we ever start up some kind of Patreon, that can be the first thing that we send out as bonus content. That'll be great. I'll just siphon snubs and flubs from my other show to supporters of this one.
Just slandering Carl. Yeah,
people love a gag reel.
Mm. Oh yeah.
So
sorry, I mean porno. That's what that's what I call bloody pornos. Gag reels. Hello, I'm back.
So a few things we need to plug up the top of this episode. First of all, we've done it again. We've done another one of our premium content episodes.
Yep, we absolute madmen.
Yes. Walking down the street like John Lennon himself with our legs perched at a precarious angle.
Mm-hmm.
We've done another premium, you've seen that meme?
No.
Where okay. He's like going,
he's doing a crazy walk down the street. You haven't
John
seen
Lennon?
Meme?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is this the moment that you gave up on millennial culture?
Yeah, genuinely. I've been thinking about doing it sincerely lately.
Yeah.
And that's the one that tipped me over the edge because A, John Lennon, no longer relevant. B, is it that silly of a walk he's doing?
Yeah
it's
looks
really,
really silly.
I'm going to look it up. Fucking shit.
So if you're giving up on millennial culture, this is something I've always thought about you. It's a great surprise to me that you're not heavily invested in steampunk culture. I can definitely see you. That would be great if you went, if this John Lennon meme pushes you over the edge. And then the next time we see you, you've got big goggles, stovepipe hat, a waistcoat with a little timepiece sticking out of it.
Yeah.
That would be wonderful.
Just cogs everywhere.
He is doing a pretty silly walk.
See?
Yes.
How have you not seen that?
Yeah. I don't know, but he'd look better with 90 goggles and some gears on him.
What did you Google to find that?
John Lennon weird walk.
There you go.
Yeah. He's wearing a kind of steampunk hat, right?
He's got like a cowboy hat on, Yoko's laughing, everyone around him's laughing. He's a bloody larrikin.
Yeah.
What a silly...
He never did anything wrong.
He's sort of the original larrikin, isn't he? So anyway, we've got a premium episode up on Bandcamp. It's all about John Lennon. It goes for 7.5 hours.
It's mostly visual stuff. It's about the walk as well.
Yeah, and what's remarkable is we managed to do all of it without mentioning, even in slight passing, any of the other Beatles. And I really think we're to be commended for being able to pull that off.
Yeah. Well, we've got those premium episodes coming up.
Yes, we've got to keep something up our sleeves.
Yeah.
No, we did an episode on the history of console launches.
Mm.
It went for 3.5 hours. Yep. We literally recorded from dawn till dusk.
Yeah.
From mid-afternoon until dusk.
Until evening,
until dark. It was, from light until dark.
Yeah.
The recorder that we use ran out of batteries halfway through, which probably says more about the cheap batteries that I bought in Thailand than it does about the length of the recording.
Wait, but you've been to Thailand?
Yeah, bro.
You never talk about it.
Oh, here we go. We go through everything. We go right back to 1972. We talk the Magnavox Odyssey, and we go pretty much right through to current day. And I had a lot of fun doing it.
I think it was a really good one. We actually researched some things, which is unusual.
That's kind of why it's so long. We actually had heaps to talk about.
But we condensed what is 72 now? 45 years into just 3.5 hours and 45 beats.
But it felt like 45 years.
Yeah. it's great. It's broken up into parts that make it easier to listen to on the go. Mm-hmm. So what is it? Filthycasuals.bandcamp.com is where...
Filthy Casuals podcast? Nox, you were...
I think it's filthycasualspod.bandcamp.com.
Right.
What it's a ringing endorsement.
It's on all the social media stuff,
So if you get on there, you can get it for, is it $1 or more?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything over $1, we greatly appreciate.
Yeah. Mm. It's $1 Australian as well, so if you live somewhere else, you can just spit into a jar and that's enough.
Worth $1? Okay. We've also got the... Is it three other ones we've done now?
Yeah.
The Legend of Zelda series, the Grand Theft Auto series, the top 10 video games that you specifically should play before you die, and now this, the history of console launches.
Oh, that's right. The Mario one we did for free.
Yeah. Just to give you a little cheeky taste.
Yeah.
We also have a survey that we're doing at the moment, which you can find on our socials, where we're trying to find out, you know, what's going on with you, got? What makes
How
you
are
tick?
You?
Yeah.
What's going on?
We want to understand the youth of today.
What's this John Lennon thing about? Why's he come up again?
So, a few questions in there to help us understand a little more about, what kind of people are listening to this and also what you personally like out of the show and would like to see more or less of. The less stuff we'll probably, for the most part, ignore.
Yeah.
But, stuff that you want to see us do as, like, extra content or whatever, that has been really helpful.
Yeah, a lot of people saying that they really, really want to see a video episode filmed at Noxie's house.
Yes.
Well, you don't always get what you want, do you?
I will say it's great to get this to hear from people kind of direct about what they like and all that.
Genuinely, that undercurrent did make me feel really weird sitting in that house going, what do you mean people want to see this?
I didn't think about how weird that would be reading that while sitting in the very house that they're talking about.
And looking around and going, I'm never showing anyone.
Yeah, if only they could see this, they'd lose their bloody minds.
Well, because I know everyone will yell at me for being too, anyway, whatever. Too boring.
Too what?
Too boring, too normal. It's just going to be dull.
Okay.
I'm going to have to hire some fucking clown house.
So hang on, you think people are going to be disappointed by how normal you are?
Yes, they wanted to. People seem to think it's this ridiculous Hall of Mirrors where, you know, there's all wacky shit happening all the time.
The floor is anime body pillows.
Yeah, they're all like unsteady as well, and like the garden has flowers that squirt you.
The feedback we got about you on the survey makes me think that we really should just reboot this show, cut out all this video games crap and just make it about a show about me and Ben doing a character profile of our weird friend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's, people love Nox.
Yeah.
Everyone loves Nox.
Yeah.
That's what I found out.
Not me.
Some good feedback in there. Even the points that do kind of conflict with each other. Mm. So on the one hand, we have people going, please stop talking about Nintendo so much.
Yeah.
And then that's the main, one of the main bits of feedback that we got. And then the other main bit of feedback is, you guys talking about the Switch so much made me buy a Switch.
Yeah,
which they aren't conflicting necessarily.
Also, that's like you talking about it so much forces me to buy it and I just can't afford this.
Why do you keep talking about, see a bunch of ads for like a Tarago, you go and buy a Tarago. That isn't how it works, but you know what I mean.
Like the majority of a group of people talking about a John Lennon meme, for instance.
Yeah, and then suddenly you're looking through a fucking huge page of John Lennon memes and thinking to yourself, some of these are pretty funny.
Yeah.
He's got more legs than normal in that one. That's a pretty good one.
Nice. But we also got, like, because it's, you know, it's like... It's a private message. A lot of people sent us some really nice, like, genuine feedback of just, like, maybe something they wouldn't have thought to say before, but it was really nice to hear so many people being like, I really liked the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
And so, yeah, if you haven't filled that out yet, please do get on because, yeah, it's going to help us determine what extra stuff we want to do in the future.
And it's a Google form that you can find on all our social media things, which you can find at filthycasuals.com.au.
Mm. Very nice. So we need to move on to let's talk about some current stuff that we've been playing or whatever.
Nintendo.
Well, yeah, I mean, an ARMS update came out today. Nothing too much in that.
Yep.
Just some balance stuff in there.
Yeah.
You can now play as Max Brass, who's like the main boss. And as I found out when I went online before you guys got here, man, a lot of people very excited to be able to play as Max Brass.
Yeah, right.
Because that's the only character that's showing up in the online lobby now.
Oh,
because
right.
It only dropped like a few hours ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to play as that four-armed squid head thing, the metal one, the metal guy.
Yeah, well, you can now.
Oh,
that's
really?
Another one of the new modes. So one of the online modes is you and you and two others taking on him.
Mm.
But then, now there's a new mode where there's a little ball bouncing around and if you walk through it, you turn into him. Until you get hit and then it's kind of up for grabs again.
Oh, okay, cool.
Which is kind of cool.
Like a hot potato. What do you call it? Zach, there's something. It's not hot potato, definitely.
I think it is hot. I think you're actually thinking of hot potato.
Yeah, maybe you are.
What is hot potato? I know how to functionally use that term, but I have no idea why it's called
that. Is it an actual game?
I like for kids.
Yeah.
Like you throw a hot potato at a kid.
You set a potato on fire.
Now give it to someone else.
Extreme brandy.
Yeah.
And what, you just have to not touch the hot potato for as long as possible?
I don't have any fucking idea, to be honest. Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know. I'll say before we move on from ARMS.
The last one who comes on the potato has to eat it,
Oh,
right?
You are a filthy person. The stuff that comes out of your mouth would make a nana turn blue. I haven't picked up ARMS for since it came out.
Yeah.
I played it for like 2 days and
I really like it. I don't remember if I even really talked about it here.
You haven't. It's news to me that you even...
Oh, yeah, I've been playing it.
You saying that six-arm thing, I was like, how does this motherfucker know about that?
We had Mark in here last week and we already talked about Nintendo. Guess what? Here's some Nintendo. ARMS is fucking really cool. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
And if you're not into the very, very base gameplay of it, then you're not going to like it because there's nothing really more in there. It's pretty vanilla in that way.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of will go 2 weeks without picking it up and then I'll just have, you know, half an hour to kill and it's perfect for, like, the online in it is the party match thing is great. For
So when you have two people in the room and you're doing multiplayer with you and another person on the same Switch, are you talking about?
No, I mean just going online.
Oh, okay, because it works really well for that too because I played a bunch of it with my brother as well.
Yeah.
And
as well, it's a weird name for a human boy.
My brother as well.
As Will Knox.
Yeah, he's the king of Narnia.
So is he older or younger?
He's a younger brother.
Right, so they Adam, pretty
and
pretty
then they had another son
name.
As well, yeah.
So, yeah.
So what if that was the law? Every second child that a family has to be called as
but the,
well.
The girl's like called
Enid Blyton Brooks. Brooks. Enid Blyton Brooks. I'm having a bloody good one today.
You missed out on my great call of saying the daughters are called also.
I knew what you were talking about and I got a word of one. When you have two people, it'll match you up again and in like tag teams and stuff. And then sometimes they just go, hey, you're not playing for this one.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Have a watch.
Yeah.
It does it really smoothly. And yeah, that party matching thing is really cool. It's a very quick and flowing sort
of
way to
play. I like that the matches are scaled down from two rounds, which is what you play in Grand Prix, to just like one.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's really cool. You can hop on for half an hour and play a good range of like quick.
And all the volleyball stuff and whatever showing up in that one makes more sense than in the Grand Prix.
Yeah,
yeah,
well.
Sure.
And the more you play that, the more you get used to it and it doesn't become as...
The volleyball one I still really don't like.
I hate it. It's probably the reason that I haven't gone back is because I like with fighting games, I just pick a character and play through.
Yeah.
Pick the next one, play through. And every time I tried to play through, I was like, I don't want to fucking play volleyball.
Yeah, it's just a bad... Volleyball too. Like, there's nothing wrong with volleyball as a sport. It's one of the most incredible sports known to the
I think with the volleyball and the same with the basketball. At best, you just get used to how to play them.
Sure.
So they're not as much of a roadblock as they are at the start, where you go, none of my skills work here, and I can't. You just get used to how to play it.
Yeah.
So you can get through it easily enough, but it's just not. it's not as fun.
Yeah.
It's just not as troubling as it is when sure. you start playing.
Yeah. Along the lines of multiplayer things that get you in very quickly, I've been playing some more of that Player Unknown's Battlegrounds.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right, which is like, when you first mentioned it, I'd never heard of it. And it's like a massive thing.
It sounded like, I'll be honest, a game that you'd made up. Like, yeah. I honestly was like, I've heard nothing about this. The way you're describing it sounds like you're coming up with it on the spot under duress because you feel like you haven't played
I haven't come
this
across
week.
This concept before, so it mustn't be true. Get out of my face with this, sir.
No, it's good. It's really, really fun.
Yeah.
And they are slowly improving it to a point where, so it's not technically out. Yet.
Right. Yeah, it's an early access.
And it's coming to Xbox One, I think, this year, and then PS4, I think, next year.
You know what just happened, or may be about to happen? GTA 5 Online has created a mode that is basically...
I think that's out already. Yeah.
Right.
It's basically that.
Again, the amount of content they continue to add to that game is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, they just did a huge, huge drop recently.
Well, there was some weird controversy, which I can't remember if we talked about, with them trying to get rid of, like, this big mod tool as well.
That's right, yeah.
People are real up and down on them. And I don't know. I haven't really looked at any of that multiplayer GTA.
I'm kind of tempted to go in because I have heard... Like, I kind of just dismissed it, but I have heard that it used to be really great.
To play it when it first went up and it just didn't fucking work.
It was very buggy.
I tried to play it about 6 months ago and it was the thing of like, oh yeah, like the character customization is great.
Yeah.
You just get to build your own character and then you just kind of like are dropped into a server of the city, of the world with, seven random people and six of them are just flying in fighter jets into you.
Yeah.
Like it's the classic multiplayer thing of like I'm 5 years too late.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That is what PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is kind of.
Right.
Is you're dropped in with
what a title.
Yeah. 99, I know. So I don't think they assumed that it would get this big.
Yeah.
Right.
They obviously didn't have some fucking teamwork. Even just Battlegrounds would have been fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
PlayerUnknown is the person who made it. And he had a big name. His name was big in like the modding community. Because this isn't the first type of this game that's been made. Mm. There were mods like this. I don't really know the whole history of it. I just know that this guy made one of them and it was a pretty good one. So his name was the selling point before it came out.
Sure.
And then somehow it went really massive. All like streaming and stuff, I think, made it quite big.
Yeah.
And it's really fucking fun. It's you and 99 other people. If you don't know what it is, you get dropped on an island. It's Battle Royale. Find your weapons, kill everybody else, be the last one standing.
Cool. Yep. Yeah. The game area slowly constricts over time. Yeah.
And it gets you in so quickly. And it like, so when you're like sort of waiting for the game to start, you're stuck on this other little island when you can run around and practice with all the weapons and stuff.
Mm.
And it matches you with 99 other people just really, really speedily.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even on like the Oceania service. I've never known how to pronounce that word.
Oceania.
Is it Oceania?
Yeah.
Oh, I never knew there was like an I near the end there. I was just sort of Oceana.
No, it's Oceania.
I know, I'm wrong, but I'm just saying. I've learned something through being in your company this evening.
Anyway,
for
so
once
us in
my
New Zealand.
Damn life.
Yeah.
And Indonesia, I guess, as well as in there. There's probably a bunch of other places.
It's easy, and this is true of ARMS. This is true of kind of everything online at the moment. It's easy to forget just how much better it has gotten online, matchmaking and stuff, even within just the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, just even the difference in playing, like, Mario Kart 8 online and ARMS and that matchmaking to stuff that was, even just the generation before. Like, I remember the PS3, like, playing Grand Theft Auto online on that and just it not... That it's just not being up to scratch, and the same with I had Street Fighter at the time, and just couldn't like it felt like that was a big part of me just deciding I don't like online stuff because I could just never get connections. But now with ARMS, it's like it's just you turn it on and it just like chucks you in. It's like a minute's time and you're off and playing, and you can just sit there for 2 hours if you want, and it's just going to keep finding you matches. It's not dull. Like
crappy internet over in this country as well has been a huge issue for it for the last like 15 years or more. Like, I remember not having broadband and not being able to get Xbox Live because of that. And just not really you fucking had to lean out your window and yell.
Yeah.
It's like, chop my rocket launcher!
Yeah.
I've got invincibility. No, you don't!
Yeah, I remember the Wii era, that being Nintendo's first big time of like, hey, this stuff can go online, but I just never did it because it just, like, it was drop out all the time.
And I remember back in when... I was playing Battlefield 1942 and I'd just play single player against bots And then we had two PCs, so my dad and I would play it in a local area network.
Yeah.
But the online, you just couldn't do it. You were just lagging constantly.
And I feel like that was a big part of it too. I was just always like, well, to me, it's like if you can't see the person, they're not in the room with you anyway. There's no huge difference between that and just playing against AI.
Yes.
But now that it is as easy as just going in and setting up an AI match,
yep.
there is that little bit more enjoyment of like, because there's been a big thing with ARMS with grab spamming, where there's character Ninjara who can teleport,
yep.
and there's like people who found out ways to exploit him where you can teleport really quickly and then grab, and you just do that again and again and again and again, and it's basically impossible to combat against.
Right.
And I had a match this afternoon where I encountered that for the first time, and even though it was a bummer, it was also like it's shit that that's happening because it's kind of not fun to play against, but I liked that I was getting angry about a real person.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was just sitting there and going, go on, mate, have your little victory. Does it feel good, does it? Does it feel fucking good?
Yeah, I'm never more competitive than when I'm playing online against real people.
Right.
That really brings it out.
I get most competitive in the business world.
Okay, and how is that going?
Dog eat dog. I am not doing well. I won't show you my house because they took it away.
So
it's great. If you have a PC that can run it, you should absolutely play Battlegrounds or just wait for it to come to whatever you have. Really tense. And I've gotten up to number 4 once.
Okay.
That's the best I've done. Out of 100 people, that's pretty fucking good.
Yeah, that is huge. Good. Yeah,
man.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm the king. Well, or the fourth one, which is, I think, the dunce.
That would be fun, actually, having that system where you can kind of, you're going for like a high score.
Yeah.
Kind of
that's what all Call of Duty and Battlefield, it's all about the rankings.
Totally. And this one doesn't have those like leaderboards or anything like that. You can't even stick around and watch the rest of the match after you're killed. I kind of wish I could do that, because whoever killed me, I want to see how they do.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
They're
adding it in at some point because it's still early access. So that stuff you just sort of have to, and it's a little buggy sometimes. Like you'll jump in, you fucking just leap out of a plane and go down. And the other day I had a thing where just nothing had loaded in properly. So I was like falling through bridges and shit.
Right.
Which I probably could have used to give me like a superpower, technically. Hide in a fucking wall and win. But
No clip style.
That is a cool thing that they've added into ARMS that you can spectate now after you die. And it's interesting seeing the matches from a top down angle, because you actually get a bit of a better idea of how it plays, and it's kind of interesting actually kind of seeing people's techniques properly and going like, that's what they're doing. Like, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I've been playing something that I was going to talk about last week, but we kind of ran out of time. A game called Goner, which is recent on the Switch, but also is a Steam game that I think has been up for a little while now. And I am really enjoying it. It's got a pretty interesting art style. Like, it's very simplistic. It's got a very cool kind of minimalist sort of undergroundy, techno-y sort of soundtrack. It's basically you're in the afterlife and you're trying to save your friend who's a whale or something like that.
Okay.
It's very...
There's no originality in storytelling.
It's kind of a run and gun style thing where you're basically, I think you technically can reach the end of the campaign and it's not too long. But for the most part, it's just you're trying to go as far as you can go and get the highest score by wiping out as many enemies as you can. You then, over the course of it, you unlock new weapons and a different head that your character can have on, and a different sort of secondary thing that you equip at the start of each run, and that they kind of sort of change how you play.
Okay.
It doesn't do the most fantastic job of telling you what is going on. So a lot of those things I kind of had to learn. It does kind of a cool little intro thing where it's very minimalist and there's no text.
Yeah.
And you just kind of learn by doing. So it teaches you the basics that way. Mm-hmm. But all those specific things about unlocking stuff and equipping them, I kind of had to Google to get it. It probably could, it probably could spell that out a little bit more for you.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, what's most crucial to a game like that is that just the way it looks and feels when you shoot and take down enemies feels really fucking cool. So you go, it's basically divided up into rooms, and each room you get into, there's progressively more and more and more and more powerful enemies.
Right. And it's not an auto runner or anything.
It's random. Like the sort of the layout of the rooms is random.
Yeah.
Random. Way.
through there.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, it just, it like, to start with, I was like, okay. And then not really being able to get sort of some of those fundamental things turned me off a bit. And then I just kind of surrendered to that and sort of worked out a bit more as I was going along. And now I'm fucking hooked on it. Like, yeah, I really, really enjoy it. I think it's like $13 on the Switch eShop. And it looks great on that little screen. When you really get into the groove of it and you sort of get your technique down and you kind of get the grips of the buttons and everything, wiping out enemies just feels fucking great.
Nice.
And the style of it, and I mean this as a compliment even though it doesn't sound like it, it looks like the kind of game that they make up in a TV show because they can't be fucked licensing Zelda or Metroid or whatever. So they just, you know, there's always some very vague representation of what most people understand games to look like.
Yeah. It kind of looks like an alien looking thing.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like the sort of fake game that you would make up for a movie or whatever.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I really recommend it. I think it's just kind of sitting there on the eShop. I don't know I haven't seen much out there about it. But but yeah, I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Cool.
Final Fantasy 12 has come out
this week too.
This week.
Well, and
the 11, Zodiac so. Something.
Killer.
Yeah.
I think it's the Zodiac Age. So
yeah.
This, it's a re-release of a PS2 game called Final Fantasy 12.
Mm-hmm. Moving on.
So it would have been a bold move if they changed the number just to really fuck people's heads up.
Yeah, Final Fantasy 12, 1.
Change it backwards, 9.
Ooh, well, that already exists.
That already exists. They already did everyone before 12, I guess. We'll call it 11. It always kind of bothered me for some reason. I know this is stupid how 11 was the multiplayer one.
Yep, the online,
so it didn't really fit in like the thing, but none of them really fit.
They should have called it Final Fantasy Online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
If only everyone was as smart as the three people in this room.
I know.
No wars.
Yeah. Or at the
companies
very least,
wouldn't go bankrupt.
Just had the sort of organizational, anal sort of.
Whoa.
Tendency.
Say no more.
I'm very organized about my anal. On Tuesday at 7:30, drop what you're doing.
Drop pants.
Drop pants.
A lot of people mentioning drop pants in the survey, by the way. In the little box where we said you can say anything.
Yeah. Pete's a big fan favorite.
Mm, yeah.
Pizza. Also a big fan favorite.
So, Final Fantasy XII, I think, was fucking great.
I really
liked it at the time. A lot of people seemed pretty down on it because it was sort of a very different one to the previous, like, 10.
And
it was a little more like an online game a little bit, but it was single player. It had really good writing. I really liked a lot of the characters in it. The world was this really strange and kind of unique thing, even though it's not unique. It's like the same world from Final Fantasy Tactics, apparently.
Right.
It was like this political story and like not, I mean, it had fucking stupid dragons and whatever, but it was a lot more like Game of Thrones would be now or something.
Right, because most of the other ones are like a group of young people and one of them has memory loss.
Yeah, we got to go kill God.
Yeah.
It's always fucking, oh, God's got to die again, bastard.
Yeah.
And so this re-release, like, it pretties up the graphics and stuff. Obviously, it's for the PS4 and it will come to the PC at some point, more than likely. It
based on your playthrough of it, how long ago was that?
Like 10 or 11 years.
Would you recommend people go in on this re-release?
Yes, I really liked it, but I was a very different man back then.
Are you yourself planning to go in on this re-release?
Nah.
Well, what better review is there than that?
Well, I'd never played it initially, and I am going to play this.
Totally.
Here we go.
Here
we go.
Yeah, absolutely, because they've changed some stuff about it where, like,
oh, well, now I'm not going to play it.
The original one had references to 2011 being the future.
Oh, great.
No, it didn't. Like, little things that you wouldn't really notice, like the way that leveling up works has changed, and there's a button to speed up your running.
I've got a feeling that people will notice that leveling up thing has changed.
No, I mean, you wouldn't notice if you went in on it now.
Well, I wouldn't.
Versus if you'd have played it before.
Yeah, but I've never played the previous one.
No, but there are some changes to things where, like,
I think there's a hole in your logic.
You know what I mean. That fucking re-release of whatever that Wonder Boy game that you were all crapping your pants about.
Yes.
Yeah.
That had a bunch of cartoons in it that you played like a bunch of Nintendo-loving fucks.
Stop
you
going on about
it.
Nintendo.
but it's very, very close to the original.
Sure, and the changes aren't worse.
It looks... no, and I think across the board people have said they're kind of better.
Mm.
And it looks like a PS2 game but with a better resolution and stuff.
Right.
But I really liked it at the time, and it is kind kind of closer to what 15 was like, but a little more slower paced. So okay. I reckon people will like it more now than they did then.
Right. I mean, thinking about 15, that was paced so fast. Like, I feel like I just went bang, 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 and I forgot the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, and the combat and stuff is like, it's this weird thing where so you don't, you do directly control people now. You can directly go and control. So in the original one, you controlled the main character that you were using.
Yep.
And then you set up gambits for these other people they were called.
Which that was in 13 as well, right?
No, I don't think so.
I thought that they were automatically fighting.
They were automatically following you, but you couldn't. So the gambit thing was like programming them basically.
Oh, okay.
So you give them a bunch of rules like if my health falls below 30, you do this.
Oh, yeah.
And
okay.
All that sort of stuff. And you give them like put them in a list of
priority and stuff. Yeah, yeah, okay.
And I thought that was really weird and was kind of annoying sometimes because yeah. You'd have to go in and change it at this, like it was a bit of a hassle and you don't have to do that anymore. So it's all just stuff like that to make it a little more fast and modern that they've changed about it. But if you like that sort of a game, you'll probably like this. But again, if you don't, this isn't the one to change your mind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Great.
Yeah, I'm going to play it.
Do we want to move on to, given that we are currently talking about a remake, do we want to move on and talk about a bit of listener mail that we got?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're looking at me like I'm speaking another language.
No, I thought you were going
to... it was your idea to talk about this.
I thought you were going to bring up a completely different topic. So we got an email from Christian.
Mm-hmm.
A Christian.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a good old Christian boy.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm sick of these Final Fantasies killing God.
Christian says, hey, guys, in spite of Crash Bandicoot out this week... I think he means because Crash Bandicoot's out this week. Mm-hmm. Do you think we will get a flux of old school games being remastered? If so, what old school game do you think would last the test of time if it were to be remastered? Keep up the good work from sunny England.
Thanks heaps, Christian. Sorry about old stick up his ass Ben taking you to task over your fucking use of grammar there. The sporting thing to do would have been to just correct it yourself and just read it out rather than going him for using the wrong phrasing.
Yeah, well...
I mean, my memory's a little foggy, but I think you calling him a, am I correct in this, stupid cunt as you were reading that out is a little verbose.
No, I guess
say.
I'll cop that. That's fair.
Well, yeah, him saying that we're about to get an influx of remakes, I feel like we're kind of already in it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's kind of better than it used to be because remakes used to just, well, there would either be in the like PS3 era.
Yep.
Remakes were just literal re-releases. No, yeah, they didn't put as much work into them as people are doing now.
There's a shitload of that stuff on Steam as well.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, here's this RPG from 2001.
With some slightly up-res textures, but it still looks like shit.
Man, those Final Fantasy ones that they've done on that are on Steam, everything like pre-7 look fucking putrid. Yeah. They look awful. They've got these terrible, like... redone
great
characters
use of
and everything.
I have to say.
Thank you very much. I learned my English at a good school. Unlike that, what did you call him, Ben? An insipid piece of pus? Is that what you said?
I think I called him putrid.
Thank you for your email, Chris.
It feels like, I don't know, I'd be interested to also try and work out what the turning point for re-releases and remasters was, because we do have it good now. There's sort of a standard that has been set where I feel like it's kind of understood that it's like, okay, you have to kind of match this. Like the Ratchet and Clank one last year was great. I think the Crash Bandicoot one is excellent.
Yeah.
Obviously Wonder Boy, which we were talking about earlier, I really, really enjoyed.
I just shit my pants again.
I think the Wind Waker one that Nintendo did a while ago on the Wii U was... I just thought that was so... I didn't play the original, but if you look at stuff side by side, that really is... really going towards like what the absolute vision of that design is in the makers' heads before kind of technological limitations kind of get in the way.
Yeah, it's weird with video games as well. When you do that, it tends to just always be better rather than like with a film, you know, fucking George Lucas style or whatever.
Yeah.
There's no real reason not to just kind of remake everything every 10 or 15 years.
Yeah,
as long as it's not taking it. I do find it weird. Not weird. I understand why. If you didn't play something when it came out, then of course you're going to give a shit about it when it comes back around, possibly. But if you were there when it happened... when the original one came out, it is weird to go like, okay, the big game this week is Final Fantasy 12. Not sure,
but
really.
It's also weird to kind of, it is a hard line to toe because something like, I mean, I never played Crash Bandicoot at the time, but I remember the hype about it, and it certainly has an endearing legacy to people to this day. So I, you know, we talked a lot about its faults, you know, at length last time. I'm still enjoying playing it. Like,
I have
no nostalgic attachment to it whatsoever. Same with the Wind Waker. I was just glad to finally get a chance to play it because I didn't get a GameCube until very late.
Yeah.
And I think it still holds up, and the art style especially. It is a fine line between, well, what will hit the nostalgia button for people, but also hold up for people who haven't played it before.
There's totally no reason not to do it as well. Like,
well, I think to your point, Nox, like when you first and with so many games, so many fantastic games, the thing that they do really well often isn't like the graphics.
Mm.
The thing that they do, they introduce new ways of playing games, new ways of telling stories in games.
Yeah.
And if you play that initially, then putting a new coat of paint on it isn't really going to make it worth playing again.
And then weirdly, if you come back to it after the fact, it can seem a lot shitter than it did at the time.
Because those ideas have evolved over time in games.
That whole Seinfeld isn't funny thing. That happens a lot with the Half-Life games. I've noticed that people think that they suck when, no, they were fucking amazing at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But
they were pioneering games.
But sure, I mean, there's certain things that were groundbreaking for the time, and they have that fondness attached to them because people remembering, you know, Super Mario 64 being this like kind of landmark event in 3D platforming. But at the same time, like there's probably, even if you're not playing it with that context of like, oh, wow, I've never seen anything like this before, there probably still is enough charm and enough kind of like good stuff in there. Like if it's doing more than just doing something for the first time, I think it will still stand up. And I think the best remakes, they just like, you
improve
know,
upon perfection.
Well, yeah, but it's also like there's a lot of those games where there's just certain control mechanics that now by today's standards make it, you know, a lot harder to play through. And I think the best, you know, the best remakes, they just understand that what's there, if you're into the core of it, then great. Like nothing's going to change that. But just kind of rebooting it and making it, you know, handle better by today's standards. Or like, the camera
but
is
it's
like
weird
a big thing from that.
Yeah.
That
it is.
Era.
But those Crash Bandicoot ones didn't do that.
They changed nothing except the graphics.
Yeah. And then everyone's like, fuck, they're sick. And you know what?
But that's the thing. I think that in that case, everything about those games couldn't be improved on in terms of the game.
Oh, the controls were fucked.
No, I disagree.
In some ways. Like, they feel shitty now.
I don't think they do.
Yeah.
And this is playing it for the first time. I really don't think they do.
Okay. I think like maybe not that example specifically, but there are so many games where they nail every single thing, but the graphics were shitty because of the time. And so in those cases, like make them look better.
I mean, in terms of remasters, like good Christian God-fearing boy's question is...
he's never had people make those sort of jokes about him before.
Yeah.
His question is, what would we like to see?
What would we think would stand the test of time?
Yeah. And I mean, it's interesting because there's been a lot of, you know, people speculating a lot recently, and us on this podcast about Nintendo's virtual console plans and will GameCube make it on? And again, I'm this is the topic that I am really hoping to usurp Nintendo in terms of most mentioned thing on this podcast, but Kane and Rince, I've been listening to a lot of their episodes about GameCube games, and for the most part, like nearly all of Nintendo's kind of main entries in franchises on that console are ones that people had a lot of issues with at the time, and even more so today. So you kind of go, well, would they be able to bring them out now and have, like Super Mario Sunshine, for example, people have a great raft of issues with, even though people still kind of like it.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, if that was to be remade now, it would need a lot of work done on it because there are a lot of big glaring things about it that people don't like.
I feel like though with Mario games, like every successive Mario game is a remake of the previous one.
Kind
of,
like, yeah.
They're really just taking the core and trying to improve it.
Yeah.
Sort of, which then also makes all the older ones kind of evergreen in a weird way. Though.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So
I mean, I would
then
love...
they have more reason to re-release them in a strange way.
Yeah.
I would really love to see... I'd love an HD. It'll never happen, but I'd love an HD full remaster of, like, Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah.
And that purely for nostalgia purposes, but playing it now in HD... and it looking how I thought it looked when I was, you know, 12 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I would love to see something like that.
Honestly, like, when I think about this, I think of those games that I, like, that thing of, like, you know, the game was as good as it could have been by the graphics. Like, I don't think there's that many games that I want remastered or rebooted or remade, because if they're great, they've probably continued as a series, and those successive games have been those games. Yeah, that remaster.
I mean, that's a good point, because, I mean, me saying that about Banjo-Kazooie, I'm sure if it came out, I would play probably the first world of it and then go, all right, I remember enough about this now.
Yeah.
And then get distracted and then remember, oh, that's right, I don't need this because it's turned into what is now Mario Odyssey, which is done with the knowledge of the intervening 20 years or whatever it is.
I was thinking, like, maybe, because I've been listening to a lot of a podcast called Kane and Rince. I don't know, Tommy, if you have heard of it.
I've still never listened to this podcast. And I think I'm going to start refusing to.
We'll stop. As listeners, help us out with this on social media.
Yeah.
We'll stop talking about this podcast as soon as Knox listens to one episode in front of us.
Or they talk about us on their podcast.
Yes.
I'll listen when Jessica Biel shows up here and goes, hello, Adam, just a handshake because we're both adults and it'd be weird if it was, you know.
I think she's married as well.
Yeah, to Justin Timberlake, and I can't compete.
Great. Okay.
I'm not even that interested in Jessica Biel.
Now we're all clear on what our conditions are for this to stop happening every week.
Yeah.
Okay?
So
listeners, get Jessica Biel to come here.
No, don't tweet Jessica Biel.
Tweet Jessica Biel and say, Adam Knox, how could you have said that?
Because so many fucking people tweeted me saying, how could you have said that? And if I ever run for politics, which I will, it's going to be a real big question time that day.
Yeah, because Donald Trump, he didn't have anything in his history.
Oh, who's that? Anyway, let's move on.
Oh, so my point was that they talk a lot about arcade games and games that I've never played, but they talk about the story, the setting, then the characters, and they all sound really, like, rich and interesting. And then I go and look up footage and it's like, well, that looks fucking dog shit. That is a game that, it looks like Pong to me.
With that sort of stuff as well, you have to have spent 3 to 6 months talking and thinking about that thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's I think that's why a lot of people have nostalgia for things from a certain time period and all of it is pre the internet and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not just because it was the most recent as well, and I don't think. It's because when you had just this one object, that's why people like vinyl still, right?
Yeah.
You have this one object, you sit there, you look at it, it's tactile, you touch it, you have ages with it, and then Jessica Biel has to leave. But
she has to leave.
Yeah, she says she had to get up early the next day. Anyway, there's something about that length of time that you spend with something.
Oh, absolutely. But my point was, like,
that makes it better in your head.
This is the opposite. These are games that had great concepts and great, like, often the arcade cabinets would have great art on them.
Yeah, yeah.
But the gameplay was shit. Like, maybe that's where you go. You take something that has a lot of nostalgia but was never actually a great game.
Yeah.
But I'm saying you can't translate that into a good thing, because you can't make someone sit there and think this thing's, or have this thing be their only form of entertainment for 3 or 6 months in this pizza parlor or whatever.
I
don't know where these people play, but you know what I mean? Like,
pizza parlors.
That's where a lot of that nostalgia gets built from and can't be recreated with any coat of paint.
I reckon that's what a lot of iOS games kind of are, like phone game, mobile games. You see a lot of stuff that are riffs on kind of this idea of the arcade game that are, you know, sort of single screen or just kind of going for a high score. I feel like that's what that's kind of been transposed into, even if they're not direct ports.
But then
they're,
like,
clearly referencing that kind of age of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's where that all kind of just lives now, is on the phone. And that's cool to me.
But then, like, I'm more thinking of, like, and there's an example that ties into probably our next topic, where it was a really basic 2D platformer action game that was made into a third-person modern action game. That was the Castlevania games.
Mm-hmm.
That was, like, as basic as a, you know, a game can get. It's a real basic pitch.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, they modernized it and they took that story and the setting and the characters and made a whole new type of game out of it.
And so most people disprefer the 3D world. Again, I don't think disprefer is a word.
Again, you've never used that word because I would have pulled you up on it, Christian.
I've used it in the past and people have pulled me up on it. It's just a word.
I don't think we were there for that conversation.
It's in my mental dictionary because it should be. What's the word for disprefer?
What else? Dislike. Don't prefer.
Don't prefer. Two words. Fuck you. Make it one word.
What else is in your mental dictionary?
Hello.
List them all. Go through all of them. Yeah.
Tomorrow. Freedom. Aleppo.
Beal.
Samboy. The big chip with a big flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Big twice.
Yep.
Anyway.
Big short.
Hit me hard. Hit me quick.
Most people don't like those 3D Castlevanias as much as the 2D ones.
Right.
Okay, well, here's a question. Do you think that now that we are into an era where, you know, graphics are, you know, I feel like we've really hit a bit of critical mass where stuff just looks great and it's and you know, it gets incrementally a bit greater.
Yep.
Do you think, I mean, it's very hard to imagine a point in 15 years' time where there is any need whatsoever for an Uncharted 4 remaster. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it'll... No, yeah, maybe not, but it might, like, it just depends on. You're never going to see a Siphon Filter remaster, you know, which is a game that everyone's kind of forgotten about and moved on, but we're kind of at the time. So it just depends where it takes up culturally. But that's what these are all based upon, right?
Sure, yeah.
It's never about the game, it's about the. And like Twin Peaks coming back, for example. People remember the thing that people liked about Twin Peaks, I'm pretty sure, in saying, was the experience of talking about it and watching it over time.
Oh, and
it'll
the
same thing with Game of Thrones in the future, where people go, fuck, it was a great show, and your kids will watch it and they'll go, this is boring and I'm learning too much too quickly.
Well, Twin Peaks specifically was like, also, never seen anything like this on TV before.
Yeah.
And now there's a million different kinds of shows that
And even that new thing, like, can't be recreated, and then the experience of watching that at the time can't be recreated with any sort of remake. So there's no way of redoing the cultural position that each of these things took up.
Yeah, well, I think like my point of Castlevania was not so much like the nostalgia thing. It was like taking a bank of like lore and characters and just using that to make a different kind of game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that is always weird because I kind of fucking don't like it, I suppose.
Because it's not the same. It's not the same as it was.
And it's just like that is just dull. That's a little whenever there's a new game, especially, and it's like, oh, this is basically like a remake of the one from 96, but it's all new and different. I go, oh, well, fuck off then. I don't really care. Even if it's technically a new thing. Like that Ratchet and Clank thing seemed really cool and well done. And I played it for a little bit and just completely lost interest because it's like, yeah, this did happen 15 years ago.
Mm. Right, but for me, I mean, you could have given me that game and not told me any of its history.
Yeah.
And I honestly wouldn't have known. It handled so tightly. It was fun. It didn't feel like it had any, you know, kind of lost relic thing. Maybe the character design may have been a bit of a giveaway that it was a bit dated, but apart from that, I don't think I would have been sitting here going, "Oh, something feels a bit feels a little bit dated." It felt so fresh to me.
Was totally the same from those old ones.
Yeah,
and so then it just comes down to the person, and there is a total argument in this for like, I played Zelda: Link to the Past for the first time on a Game Boy Advance.
Yeah,
and I never had it on Super Nintendo, so you know that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
a lot of this stuff is also just true of just any game, not just a remaster.
And movies and shit. When those original Star Wars movies came out in the cinemas again in like 97, whenever that was.
Yeah.
I remember people being like, ugh, again?
Yeah.
And I was a fucking little 8-year-old kid. I loved it.
Yeah, I remember that was huge.
I was 10, yeah.
That doesn't seem to happen that much anymore, like big things being re-released into cinemas. Well,
Titanic was. I saw that in 3D. It was fucking great. It was really good.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the big thing you always hear people going, like, that's one of the big ones where people go, it's funny now looking back that won all the Academy Awards, because a lot of people feel like it hasn't held up.
I think it's pretty good. It's It's like Gone with the Wind. Like, it's not a movie for a cinephile, but it's a fucking entertaining movie.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think seeing it in 3D in gold class
should be allowed in the cinemas anyway. I think they should all be locked up.
So you think that you shouldn't be allowed in the cinema?
I hate movies. I enjoyed Spider-Man for the fucking fourth time again this decade. You know, yeah. like it's yeah. just so
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah.
yeah.
The amount of this one makes more sense than the last one, at least. Reboot of Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
this one.
That's right. There was another one like
Andrew Garfield.
Years ago or
yeah.
something.
There were
yeah.
two of them. They did two.
Yeah.
Fucking with hell. Him.
And yeah. they both fucking sucked.
Right.
Yeah. I watched the first one. It was just
fuck,
boring.
That's right. That was so recent, wasn't it?
yeah. yeah.
Man.
2012, I think, was not even the most. It was like 2012 and 2014 or something.
Right. Yeah.
Jamie Foxx was in one of them.
Yeah.
They also did. I mean, there was a point where the Hulk was popping up again every like 2 years or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. Ang Lee and then.
But then it was
Edward Norton.
The Eric Banner and Ed Norton
and
ones were
same
really
thing where it yeah. was Marvel yeah. doing it again for their own purposes. So I kind of understand that a
yeah.
little bit.
Yeah.
And this one, the Spider-Man's pretty good, but anyone who wants to watch Spider-Man will. It's yeah. a big popular movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But now it's got my thumbs up.
Well, we've sort of segued into this a bit through talking about TV and Castlevania. So the Castlevania series dropped on Netflix, what was it, like last week or over the weekend?
Yeah,
pretty
yeah.
recently, yeah. I think since the last time we recorded.
Yep.
I have watched one episode. Ben, you've watched two.
Yep.
Adam, you cannot get it up currently. Tell us about that.
Well, I watched all of Castlevania and it just made my boner stop. I just every time I went to look at watching that show, I decided not to.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you've played a lot of the games, which I haven't done. I've never played a Castlevania
game. I've played a couple of them.
Okay.
And
including that 3D reboot.
I played some of the 64 one that was 3D.
Yep.
And I played some other one for a bit that was 3D, I guess, that was on the 360 probably.
Yeah, the Symphony of the Night, I think.
No, it might have been a PS2 one even, actually.
Oh, okay, right.
Symphony of the Night is the one that people love.
PS1, yes.
That's a huge one.
That one's
really
great.
Love.
That one's like Metroid. And I played that one a bit. So there's a real big weird split between the 2D and the 3D ones in them. They're
right.
kind
yeah.
of different series.
And what was the last time? When was the last time they made one?
Not that long ago, but it's been a while since they've made a good one. There were some good ones on the DS as well. People like those.
I feel
ones.
Like there was a PS3 360 era one.
There was
kind of like a God of War-ish style.
And Kojima had something to do with that in a weird sort of production way, in a way that Miyamoto seems to get around the office, go, how about you fucking jazz that up a little bit? I think Kojima just went along and said, hey, what if this was weirder?
Yeah.
And is there one in the pipeline at the moment? Or
I don't know.
Not that I can think of.
Because I was looking
at Konami. So it's all fucked they're a bunch of, they sell baths now or whatever they do.
Pachinko baths.
I was looking at this and going, this is kind of a weird thing to come out now when it's not like a Castlevania game has just come out and been huge.
Yeah.
And some execs going, oh, we gotta hop in on this. Just kind of came out of nowhere. It's like all of a sudden, oh, cool, this series about a franchise that isn't really on the tip of anyone's tongue.
It's
at the
so
moment.
Weird as well. It's one of those ones where when you see it outside of the context of a video game, it seems fucking stupid.
Oh, just the name, Castlevania.
Seth Rogen in, you know, it sounds like a fucking Super Jaime or whatever that dumb one where he was playing Merlin. What's the...
Your Highness. I read up a bit of it because I was like, this is weird. Why has this just randomly come out?
Warcraft.
Who is asking for this? It was in development back in 2007. And it was originally going to be this animation studio called Frederator. They got the rights to it.
I couldn't tell if you were saying the name or if you've forgotten the name. So
and I'll just edit it in clean later. No, Frederator.
Frederator. Right.
Who, I'll get into them a bit later on, but their credits are like they did a lot of, like they did Fairly Odd Parents. They're the animation studio that does Adventure Time. They've done a lot of stuff. So they had the rights. Warren Ellis was writing the script. He
famous edgy comic book writer.
Yes.
Who is he? I recognize that name.
I am not a fan at all. I've tried to read some of his stuff. It's all the absolute embodiment of quote unquote edgy. I really don't like it.
Is he Transmetropolitan?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That I read. My friend let me like nearly all of it.
Yeah.
And I found it readable, but at the same time I was going, man, I hate this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I would sit up until 2 a.m. reading these comics, going, this is just the most on the nose. Like. Yeah. Oh, fucking corporations are bad.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, right. Yeah. I've got a necklace with bullets on it.
Kind of, yeah, the main character's like he's got
glasses. He's basically Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah. He's got these glasses that are different colours in each lens. And
really wacky.
That's fucking cool.
It's so dumb. Anyway, he gets brought on and the idea is that it's going to be eventually a series of direct-to-video movies. So he writes one and he writes it with the aim that, cool, hopefully I get to do 2 and 3. Mm. But if not, then this will just be – this kind of will just stand alone as its own little thing. He goes back and forth with Konami. I think he gets into the main dude who's like in charge of it, I forget his name, but the main Japanese dude who's kind of in charge of the license, he insists that Ellis do 7 rewrites before he'll even look at it.
What?
How does he possibly...
Exactly.
How does he not know the second is great?
If that fucking idiot did rewrite it 7 times instead of just doing it in 7 different fonts.
Exactly. Mm. This pisses Warren Ellis off, even though it's the easiest thing to get around.
Yeah.
Seemingly the
easiest
thing.
Okay, I'll do it. Okay, done.
Yeah.
Just delete 1 from the cover page and put 7 there and just send him the first thing you've written. Anyway, so it then I don't know what quite happens to stop it. All I could find was that it just went into development hell. It just
couldn't
get the money. Nothing happened with it. And then all of a sudden, just like last year, Netflix funded it. And so.
Because they'll make anything.
Yes. Yeah. It felt like there was a point where a Netflix original was kind of an event.
Yeah.
You'd get like a new one every year. Yeah. And now it's just like.
Beasts of No Nation. Oh, it's like an Oscar nominated movie. Now it's like. A million things
There's
come
a million
out of it.
Brad Pitt's jaws slightly forward. He's acting.
Yeah.
So it's now – so this first season that's on there now, which is 4 episodes of half an hour.
Yeah, well, less, like 20-25 minutes.
So is this that movie
This is what was going to be that movie Broken Up, which when they go back into production on this, they apparently just used his scripts from 10 years ago without really doing anything to it.
Right.
Which is crazy. Like, think about the differences in TV between now and 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, it may as well be a different medium. That
Dracula,
is insane.
You need to get out of here. Or my name is the host of The Daily Show, Jon Stewart.
So you did watch it.
Yeah. What's with this weird crossover with Seth Cohen from The OC coming in that they've written in?
Ooh, what you say?
So, I watched
Rove Ep- Live the other night was great.
So I watched Ep 1. You've watched both.
Yeah.
Now, I kind of know what your thoughts are. Do you want to lead this off?
It's terrible.
Is it because of
everything about it?
What do you shorten Warren to?
Wazza.
Yeah, big Waz.
The Waz.
The Waz.
So the writing is pretty bad. Like, it's almost sub-comic book level. It's video game cutscene level, really. Like, that's what I thought of it.
Okay, so I kind of agree.
Yeah.
But I also think that the format of animation is probably a bit more forgiving on that for me.
Because you kind of think, because it's anime, it's a bad mistranslation?
Well, but this is the thing. So all this stuff I looked up about it, I watched it without knowing any of this. Mm. So there's bits where, like, I was watching it and in my head I kind of thought it was a Japanese cartoon that they had dubbed, which it's not.
No.
So there's bits where the lip syncing doesn't match up at all. And there's bits where I was kind of like, you know, you sort of see that a lot in anime that's been translated and dubbed where... people speak in very kind of weird phrases because
stilted
they just sort of match it up. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's fair enough. But it's not doing that.
No.
But I also think, like, I mean, people talk in anime. Like, it's fine for people in a cartoon to talk differently.
Yeah.
But here's another thing I found out. At some point, this was going to be live action.
Yes.
Just using the exact same script. Which would have been horrific.
Would have been embarrassing.
Like, if it looks bad now in animation, it, like, that dialogue would have been a million times worse with actual people in real life saying.
Especially if the lip syncing still wasn't there.
Now, that I'd kind of, that would be kind of cool. That I'd kind of forgive.
So my, I was, you know, I was like, okay, I guess I have to watch this for the show. We want to talk about something. Mm-hmm. I haven't played any games, so I'll just commit to watching it. And
so you're going into it with the right headspace.
But also, like, never played a Castlevania game.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it looked cool. And I like anime as well.
90% of the people who give this a go on Netflix won't have as well.
Yeah.
Or more than.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
most people who play video games haven't played a Castlevania game.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the other weird thing, is like this thing of, like, the trailer for it is like, Castlevania is on Netflix.
Yeah.
It just seems like a big misjudge of... Like, everyone who plays games, or even people who don't play games, know what it is.
Yeah.
But it's not like putting Mario on there where you go, well, everyone's played a fucking Mario game at some point.
Yeah.
Like, and at some point, like, you're writing a story about Dracula, just make it about Dracula.
Yeah.
Get rid of the Castlevania name. What are you doing?
I think this is another thing where it shows its age. So I will say I watched the first one and I actually quite liked it. I thought it had kind of a camp sort of quality that I didn't mind.
Camp quality.
Fuck. So the first episode is basically
It's just set up, really.
It's just set up. Yeah. So it's Dracula. This woman comes to him. He falls in love with her. We then cut to like a couple of years on.
Yep.
This woman, because she's been, he's like teaching her about science and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
She's like burnt at the stake for being a witch because she knows about science.
The Roman Catholic Church feature heavily, like they're the bad guys, basically. Yeah.
So Dracula kind of comes in and then he kind of cracks the shits because they've burnt his wife at the stake, the only person he's ever loved.
And they're all like, there's no such thing as Satan. There's no such thing as evil spirits. There's no demons. We're all fine. Yeah. She's just crazy, but she's a heretic, so we'll burn her.
Yeah. But they're the Roman Catholic Church and there's no, I don't really know a huge amount about them, but why do they think there's no demons?
They don't believe it's real. They don't believe that.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gives them a year to kind of make this right.
Yeah. Well, so like at the burning at the stake, he like appears in the flames. Like he's like, I'm a fucking demon and I'm gonna get you guys. You're fucked.
How
in
do they
a
make
year's
it?
Time, I'm gonna destroy the world.
Okay.
Yeah. And so cut to a year later, and they're celebrating. Like the day that they killed her is like this great thing. He appears and goes, you've absolutely fucked this, boys. You couldn't have fucked it harder if you tried.
Yeah.
And then there's a very gory scene of like a bunch of demons running around and killing people. And then it's only right at the end of the episode that we meet, is it Trevor?
Yeah, Trevor Belmont.
Trevor Belmont, who's like the protagonist of the games.
Yeah. Which wasn't it Simon?
There's a few different Belmonts.
Right.
And Trevor, I'm pretty sure, never was one of them.
Right.
Yeah, right.
So I
G'day,
thought,
I'm Trev.
I thought the whole stuff of like, Dracula kind of being heartbroken and kind of taking vengeance and stuff. I thought all that stuff was really cool.
Right.
But that's again, the Dracula story.
Yeah.
That is something that if you were writing a script now, you would just show that in the opening credits.
Yeah.
Like, this is the whole Bram
episode. Bram Stoker. Fucking Francis Ford Coppola did that fucking 27 years ago.
Yeah. Either it's in the credits or you actually devote a lot of time to it, make it a nuanced relationship.
Yeah.
Because you don't really get to know the woman.
You don't see her at all.
At all.
She's, she's in the very intro. Mm. And then the next time she meets him.
Yeah.
And then the next time we see her is her being burnt at the stake.
This sounds like a comic book writer using a woman as a device to give a man motivation.
Totally. Absolutely.
Yeah. My favorite bit of dialogue was the woman walks into the castle. She's like interested in like, you know, witchcraft and stuff like that, but she's a scientist.
She's trying to heal people. She's trying to be like a doctor and they all think she's like she's trying to help people and give them medicine.
Yeah,
and the
right.
people in the village are like, no, you're, what's all this? Mumbo jumbo, you're a fucking witch.
And so she walks into Dracula's castle and she meets Dracula and she's like, oh, you're a bit rude. You haven't taken my coat or offered me a drink. And Dracula goes, what if I take a drink of you?
Now that's good writing. No, no. I think that's gone over your head.
I don't know if you know. What do you mean?
Well, I've played a couple of Castlevania games. I know
about
vampires.
I'm just going to say, you can't take a drink of a person.
So not a normal person.
Mm.
So vampires are a little bit different.
Explain this to me, please.
The way that a vampire gets its food, its sustenance that it needs, right?
All right.
I'm saying it because a Dracula is actually a vampire, is actually
a Dracula.
A different thing to a person where to survive,
yes,
they drink people's blood. They drink blood. They bite necks of women often.
This has changed my whole experience of that show. Yeah.
I love it now.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
They spin them upside down and hit the bottom like a sauce bottle and drink blood out of them.
I mean, I kind of, yeah, like that, because you'd flagged that to me before I started watching it. So I was looking out for it with a keen eye. Yeah. And I don't, maybe it's because I knew it was coming. I mean, I was just like, you know, I'm pretty forgiving of that because it is like it's a ludicrous story.
Yeah,
I kind of do like this thing that's based on a Japanese take of Dracula. I think that's kind of I think that's a cool thing, but yeah, the thing that kind of really bothered me, I think it, like, the color palette, like, it looks, in still form, it looks really good.
Yeah,
I thought the sound design and the music and stuff was really good. The animation is so lazy.
Yeah.
There's just no excuse for animation in this day and age.
This sounds like
to be that, like, and
boring and bland.
Bland. And you know what? And again, I kind of thought, like, knowing that it's an American studio trying to make it look like an anime, it's borderline offensive that's them kind of going, yeah, this is what anime looks like. Kind of shit, and people don't really move at all.
Well,
I'm
a big fan of
nuance, and there's still degrees of fluidity to anime, well, especially now.
I'm a big fan of Avatar: The Last Airbender, which is an American produced series that is, you know, in an anime style, and it's beautiful. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Is this just a thing that they threw $50 at because there was an old script no one was using?
It's probably something like that. But the thing is with animation, like, once you're doing it, like, it. Everything's digital now. Like, there's poses and stuff in this that are just ludicrously, like, it really is that super, 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 super old style of just someone standing there for 3 seconds. And I will say, watching it, not knowing the context that it was made in, I was kind of prepared to give it the benefit of the doubt because it did sort of remind me of, there used to be a anime series of Street Fighter that you could rent. I would go and get them at the video shop. And this is old days where it was like, there's no box, complete series box sets.
Yeah.
It's like,
they hadn't invented boxes yet. It was still holding everything in triangles.
There hadn't been a complete series of anything yet.
No.
Each video cassette would have like 2 episodes on it or whatever. And I used to love going down and renting them and kind of like taking, you know, kind of making my way through the series. Mm-hmm. I really, I don't know if it would hold up now, but I, as a kid, I really loved that. And it, you know, that's a very kind of old anime style of animation where it is very stilted.
Yeah.
And it kind of harkened back a little bit. It felt like they were trying to harken back to a little bit like the style of, you know, the really, really old school style of like the Saturday morning cartoons of Nintendo games when they all kind of took off in the 90s. And you know, so if you wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt, you could say that they're kind of going for that, maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the case. And I just think it's such a shame because you go, if this just looked better, I could be a lot more forgiving of all the other stuff.
Sure,
but I didn't hate it. I did kind of think everything that was there was pretty cool.
Well,
keeping in mind that all I got to was just basically the end of the intro.
Yeah. Well, I think that my biggest problem, or the thing that is the biggest impediment to me enjoying it, is like, I've seen Ninja Scroll.
Yeah.
I've seen what is it like the Bull, Mad Bull Cop, the really
Raging Bull.
Yeah, great movie. No, it's like it's like a super violent, like
Beverly Hills Cop.
Yes, thank you. No, but like there's a great animated series. It's an Adult Swim series called Metalocalypse.
Oh yeah.
Which is done by it's like a comedy. It's a comedy. It's done by this guy called Brandon Small.
Yep.
Who is also, he does all the music. He's like this really accomplished guitarist, and it's kind of like this series was too bland to like accomplish anything. It wasn't gory enough.
Yeah.
I've seen more gory Ninja Scroll and Metalocalypse, a comedy series.
Yeah.
There was no real style to it. The animation was shitty.
Well, it wasn't extreme enough in any
direction.
The whole thing of it being an adult cartoon, it's like there's a bit of, in this first episode, there's a bit of gore right near the end. And then there's also a conversation with these two British guys talking about how they caught someone fucking a sheep.
Yeah, a goat.
And they're specifically saying, yeah, and then he's fucking the goat. And they're just saying that again and again and again, which is like,
I'm back on board.
filling up some quota of like making it feel adult, because all the rest of it has felt quite camp and quite sort of safe.
And like, there were moments where like they wheel out the Pope and he's real fat and gross and like disgusting and gross, but he's not grotesque and he's not horrible enough.
Yeah.
And there are like Metalocalypse, it's a really good example because it really does lean hard into those like metal archetypes of like horror like style, like really gross looking things and horrible characters and grubby. It gets really gory and gross, and this doesn't even get anywhere close to that, which is a comedy series.
It's a shame. I mean, if this had been made
much
by
of that, well, I was just how much of that would be from possibly using the games as inspiration, because they have some pretty straight down the line, like, here's a Frankenstein, exactly how you think a Frankenstein looks.
Yeah,
sure,
sure.
So if they use that series too much as a blueprint for this, it could make it look like, again, it's one of those things where video games, when you put them in a different medium, direct, they tend to look, they come off not looking great.
Well, this is the thing, like, I think, because it raises an interesting question. I mean, like a year ago, it felt like there's these kind of like rumors and sort of talks that sort of resurface every few years, and Zelda was one that was going around. Did that ever get confirmed? But there was talk of Netflix doing a Zelda series at some point.
It went away. They're doing a Witcher one, but that's nothing to do with the games. It's just using the property.
So, yeah, it kind of resurfaces every now and then, and it is such a hard thing to do, and I think, you know, it would be great, because I think what holds it up is that the company that, you know, made the game that holds the license, they get involved and they're like, these are the things that have to be in it. Mm. It would be great to see something where you just get given the art design and the characters and then everything else, it's like, just go for it. Like, put in whatever other stuff. Like, a Metroid series where it's like, here's the world, here's the character, here's what she is, here's what she's about, and then here's the main villain, and everything else, just do whatever the fuck you want. Add in whoever you want, as long as it stylistically fits in.
They sort of did that, and it was a game, and it was Metroid Other M, which was made by a different company, and it fucking stank.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
And the story especially was
But you kind of need to go like someone, as if someone has just come to you with a very rough outline of like, hey, I've got this character, but I don't know what to do
like
with
a writing prompt, and then you just go from there. And
that Metal Gear Solid movie, I'm hoping, will be there.
Yeah.
With Konami being sort of dropped off the map a little bit. I'm hoping that we're like, we're not going to do a fucking another one. Go for it.
Yeah. It's kind of, because, so this is what I was going to bring up, is that I saw a screening of Baby Driver the other night and I liked it a lot. I really loved it. And it almost feels like it's as if someone went to Edgar Wright and went, hey, you can make a Grand Theft Auto movie. Because those games kind of reboot with the characters at the start of any every game anyway. Like they're all sort of different characters. It can be, you can have whoever you want in it. You can kind of come up with completely new characters. It can be set wherever you want, but it just has to feature kind of, you know, sort of start like bottom level crime kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Big kind of domineering presence of like big crime lord or whatever.
Yeah.
And then
car
chases, stealing cars, gunfights, all that sort of stuff.
And like a radio soundtrack.
And a great soundtrack. Yeah, it really does feel like someone has just gone, here's the elements that you have to have in it, but everything else, literally do whatever the fuck you want. And I kind of, it's interesting walking out of that and that kind of clicked for me halfway through. I was like, oh, this is cool.
Mm.
And then also watching this that feels like it's been, this Castlevania show, like it's been kind of held back by what it has to be doing.
Yep.
And kind of going, fuck, it would be cool to see something made in that way. Where, yeah, you just get given a really vague blueprint and then whoever said that to you just gets to... At some point
you're saying, let's make it not a video game movie.
But that's exactly it.
Yeah, because like, video games aren't movies.
Yeah.
So take the things that would transpose and
But
do
that's
that.
Exactly it. At a certain point you just go, because the whole idea of the video game movie is so cursed now, well, yeah, as if anyone... Would people have given as much of a fuck about, you know... Well, I guess they would.
If John Wick
like,
was called
Wright's
Max
Grand
Payne.
Theft Auto movie, like, but him doing his own
but
thing.
But there are... Like, in the, I think it's just, it must be the second episode. There are platforming sections of Castlevania.
That's fucking stupid.
It does everything except a Medusa knocking him off the side of the castle.
The only movie that I've nearly walked out on was Doom with the
and Carl Urban.
And they had a big fucking, like, 10-minute-long sequence of, like, a first-person shooting thing, and it was just so fucking embarrassing.
Well, again, I mean, that's
just this... so, because you can see, like, you, it's almost like the director's peeking out from behind the screen going, fucking, look at that. Yeah. Like, yeah. You cunts, like.
Yeah.
It's like
I think
that.
If it doesn't easily translate to you having no prior knowledge of the thing, like, that movie kind of contradicts what I'm saying, because they got given too much creative license, where the whole thing that's cool about Doom is that you found a portal to Mars.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry, to hell.
Yeah, and you're on Mars and there's a portal to hell, yeah.
Yeah, and then that one they just set in space. It's like, yeah. Who gives a fuck about, like, the cool stuff is all the hell stuff.
And
like,
I'm pretty sure the demons were just fucking science experiments gone wrong.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so they got given too much. Like, that's the thing where you go, it has to be set here and it has to do this.
And it has to be given to a good filmmaker.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, it also has to not be an idiot where, like, I'm sure they were allowed to make it. I'm sure that whoever changed it to science experiments had to fight for that.
Yeah.
Had to go, no, they need to be science experiments because people won't like it if it's hell.
Right.
But, like, is it because Zelda's the most recent one that's been talked about, like... I feel like the only way a Zelda series could be any good, and this is the big weeabo in me coming out,
yeah,
would be if it's made by like a Japanese animation studio.
Yeah.
Then it could be fucking
Studio
like,
Ghibli.
Anything else, and it's just like an American company having a crack at it.
Yeah.
Like I would love to see, and maybe this is what the DLC would be, but like a series that's, you know, set Breath of the Wild world and it's everything that happened before you got frozen for 100 years.
And it would have to be funny. That's the other thing that video game shit never is.
Mm.
It's never the least bit... It's always so fucking self-serious.
It's all po-faced and it's
like
self-awareness.
Sometimes they'll do a little bit of a wink like, you know, fucking The Rock will say, it's a big fucking gun or whatever.
Yeah, like the Resident Evil movies are a great example of no real humor.
And and all of those... fucking the Warcraft, you know, all of those. Sort
Warcraft
of things.
Was another one where
Assassin's Creed.
The Warcraft had the real time strategy view of the battlefields. Like, oh, okay.
Lamest shit.
Yeah,
yeah.
But a Zelda one, especially if that was played, because that the best things about that world is that it's like a fun little place and there's funny people everywhere.
Yeah.
Same with Castlevania, like the stuff that people enjoy about that. Yeah, it's got all these dumb Medusas and whatever, but it's funny when a fucking Frankenstein kills you.
Yeah.
That's funny.
There's stuff,
I like it. I want to be killed by a Frankenstein.
It's so funny to go back to like, I'm always fascinated by like the 90s.
Frankenstein is the doctor, the monster is called Frankenstein's monster.
Actually.
Not in Castlevania world.
Okay.
In Castlevania, the doctor was named Dr. Boners.
I'm always fascinated by the 90s approach to video game cartoons where you've got, you know, so yeah, like Mario and Sonic have their roots in these like Japanese companies.
Yeah,
and
they're
quite Japanese. And then you look at this very dumb American Saturday morning cartoon interpretation of it where the characters are very off model. The tone of the games is just absolutely not there.
They had no idea what, like...
But I remember loving those Sonic cartoons growing up. They were like a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Right. Oh, definitely. They had the benefit of not having a huge amount to work with.
Yeah.
You look at Mario and it's 1989 or 1990, you go, what the fuck am I meant to do with this? Who's this mushroom?
But that's the thing I remember about those cartoons is that they didn't have a lot to work with, but they also didn't do, it's like you've got a blank canvas here.
Well, no, that was a good thing.
But they just left. I remember like nothing ever happens in any of those episodes. Like they don't sort of go, well, here's kind of, we can just invent whatever we want. They still play within the sandbox of like, oh, Mario's just going to be in a castle. And that would be a whole episode, him just running around.
Hey,
like
Luigi, it's fucking hot today, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, Mario, what do you want to do? I don't know. The design doc was pretty plain. Where are we from? I don't know, Mario.
All right, let's...
This ain't going nowhere.
Ben, let's let this go for another 20 minutes and then let's wrap it up.
All right, gladly.
Hey, you reckon Bowser's out there? Who? Oh, sorry, King Koopa. He's still called King Koopa back now. What do you mean by back now? I'm talking about when we is.
My favorite movie, Back to the Now.
Back to the Now. Part 3 hasn't come out yet, I believe. What do you want to fuck?
We got to wrap this up. I'm going to persevere. I'm at least interested. The bits that were bad to me, I was like, I kind of enjoy how bad this is just enough to... That being said, I'm only at the very intro kind of bit.
I think the first episode is better than the second, but okay. I'll watch the other two. It's fucking 4 episodes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Nox?
I'm not going to watch any of them.
All right.
Great. Fantastic. guys, thank you so much for listening for another week. So, yeah, get on to our social media stuff. We have got the premium episode that we would love it, even if all you can spare is $1. We just would love people to hear it because, yeah, we put a lot of work into it and we think it's really interesting and good and funny. Of course, if you are in a position where you can pay a little more for it, it is greatly appreciated by everyone here at Filthy HQ.
And it's filthycasualspod.bandcamp.com.
Great. .com.
Oh, we just lost 100 sales. Also, the survey, you can find the links to that. That's on our website right now, filthycasuals.com.au.
The survey is not, but it's on our Facebook and our Twitter.
Right.
Which you can find on our website, filthycasuals.com.au.
Yeah, we don't need to give these Bandcamp links out and stuff anymore. We have a website, I forgot.
Yep.
Yeah, so people can find all of that stuff. Yeah, take a couple of seconds to fill out and let us know what you'd like to see us do in the future. Guys, yeah, again, thank you so much for listening. And as we say at the end here of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Castlevania, I barely know her. Oh, Luigi, that's fucking funny.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.